Thank you, church. It's so good to be back with you guys. My goodness, 2 weeks feels like eternity. I talked a little bit about how things went in Georgia with Pastor Phil. They're doing awesome stuff. God's doing incredible things. They're, 5 years in, and I think around 500 people-ish. God's doing incredible things. And they have a beautiful new front porchway. I don't know if you guys have seen it. It's beautiful. I looked at it and I thought about it. I'm like, man, we could do that. And then I was like, no, we live in Washington. And these past 3 months of beautifulness isn't reality for us. So when there is wet stuff falling from the sky, I just want to remind you, that's called rain.
Yeah.
And that's going to be the next 9 months.
Yeah.
Anyways, yeah, someone's excited for it.
Yeah.
You're like, don't prophesy that. Don't prophesy that. You know, I also got to spend some time in Houston and in Louisiana in the deep south. And there's something I learned. It was some really good stuff, but this is kind of one of the more fun things. Here, when the preacher man is doing something good or saying something good, we say, amen. Or we say, come on. Or if you're Ben Dixon, you say, give me some of that. Right? Down south, what I heard a lot of was, my Lord! My Lord! So, if I'm doing a good job this morning, feel free to give me some my Lords, because it was good. I had a great time down there. This morning, let's continue on our journey. We're talking through spiritual gifts. And really what I would like to see is, I just want all of us as a family, as a church, to continue walking down this path of figuring out what gifts God has given us. Because here's the thing, I believe that each one of you has spiritual gifts. And each one of you has the ability to encourage and build up the people around you. And each one of you has the ability to add to this body of believers by sharing the gospel with other peoples. That means that you are valuable. Look to your neighbor and say, you are valuable. Because God made you valuable. Amen. Yeah, keep telling people that. Keep telling people that. So here's kind of where we've been. I just want to recap everything of where we've been so far. The message series that we're in is called All Hands on Deck, because I believe there's an urgency in spiritual gifts. Paul says to eagerly seek spiritual gifts. It's not just a, oh, I wonder if we can find some in our Bible. This is eagerly. This is praying about them. This is talking about them. This is figuring out before the Lord on our faces, saying, God, how have you created me? Because I want to live to the fullest that you have created me for. And so that's why there's this urgency. All hands on deck. The sirens are going off, y'all. It's getting real. As Pastor Ben Dixon opened up the series, we talked about what spiritual gifts are. They're not the talents that we're born with. They're not the skills that we've developed over time. They are God-given supernatural abilities, things that we wouldn't be able to do on our own. They're not something that we can muster up, right? They are God-given supernatural ability. They're to be used to equip the body of Christ, to encourage the body, and exalt Jesus. They're received sovereignly through God. That means we don't say, ooh, that's the gift I'm going to have, right? God knows the people who are around us. God knows the people that we'll be ministering to. God knows our personality. And He uses all of that to say, okay, this is the way you are best going to be utilized for my kingdom purposes in your context. And so He gives us specific gifts sovereignly. But we also know that as God is present everywhere, that these gifts can be situationally given, right? So if I'm walking down the street and Joe has a bum leg and I come up to him and I don't have the gift of healing, well, I'm still going to pray for healing because I believe God can heal, right? So these gifts can be situationally given. We're going to pray for the sick and see them recover. I prophesy it. And then we talked about this place that all these gifts flow from. They flow from L-O-V-E. They flow from a place of love. In 1 Corinthians 13, all of these gifts, whenever we exercise these gifts, they're not for building me up, they're not for building you up, they are for all of us to be loving one another. As we look at the scriptures, we see three main places that Paul talks about these spiritual gifts. We see the ministry gifts, the evangelist, prophet, teacher, preacher. I'm missing one of them. Evangelist. Okay, well, apostle. That's the other one. I'm like, my goodness, that's the one I usually say first. Boy, who's teaching up there today? Just playing. All right, got one laugh. Thank you. Appreciate it. Those are the ministry gifts. And then there's the manifestational gifts. These gifts are for the purpose of manifesting the presence of God. When we walk in these gifts, found in 1 Corinthians 12 through 14, they're to make it known that, whoa, okay, God is real and He's here. Have you guys experienced those gifts before? Have you seen those gifts? It's powerful when they take place because you just get, sometimes quite literally, powerful. The ones we started talking about fairly recently, a couple weeks back, are the resident motivation gifts. These are the gifts where God has created each one of us in a specific way, and as we are living in submission to the Holy Spirit, yielding our lives to the Holy Spirit, these most naturally just come out of who we are. They just happen. And these are in Romans chapter 12. So go ahead and turn your Bibles or your smart devices to Romans chapter 12. As we read through these gifts and as we walk through them, I want to continue to prompt us to ask this question. Is this me? Is this the way that God created me? Is this the way that I can be ministering to the people around me? Is this me? Okay. And as we're in Romans 12, I remind us that the Apostle Paul wrote it. And he's writing to a church. Let's see if I can open my Bible here. He's writing to a church which is made up of both Jews and Gentiles. And as the Jews were primarily in leadership at the time, Emperor Claudius came in and said, all the Jews need to leave Rome. And so they all leave. And now the Gentiles raise into the leadership of the church. And after Claudius dies, the Jews come back and join the church. But what they found is, wow, they've lost a lot of the Jewish flavor of church. And so there's this tension. Just like in humanity, it happens so often. When someone is different from the other and has different beliefs and looks different and feels different and thinks different, there's a lot of pointing down, right? You're different, so there's something wrong with you, right? This is naturally where humanity goes, but this is not a gospel perspective. Just because people are different, it doesn't mean that they're less than. Right? They are still God's creation, and as the Holy Spirit still lives inside of them, they are new creations in Christ Jesus, right? All of this good stuff. That's not where my message is going, though. I could go off. I could go off on it, but I'm going to keep it on page this morning. So Paul is writing this letter to this church that is in a bunch of tension, and he's writing his clearest theological perspective in this letter of Romans, because he wants everyone to be on page, right? And this is where we get to Romans chapter 12. Let's read this together. Starting in verse 1, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. Again, I always like to point out that a perspective of sacrifice in these days was always based upon these offerings being dead. And so this is unique that it's actually a living sacrifice. Anyone glad that we are to be living sacrifices? Amen. Right. We're all glad to be alive. Amen. Okay. Yeah.
My Lord.
Okay. There it is. Like, this is the perfect spot, guys. Come on. So good. Thank you, Victor. I'll give you your bonus later. Which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. We have to know that whether you realize it or not, you are being shaped. You're being shaped by your friends. You're being shaped by your family. You're being shaped by your school and your teachers. You're being shaped by the media. You're being shaped by the news. You're being shaped by Facebook. You're being shaped. All of these things. But we have a choice. What is going to be our primary shaping? Are we going to be shaped and conformed by this world? Are we going to be shaped and formed by Jesus? Are we going to be shaped by this world? Or are we going to be transformed by the renewal of our mind to God's Word?
Amen.
That's the one I choose. Anyone else?
Amen.
Yes. Amen. That by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Verse 3 is where we get into really what we're starting to talk about. For by the grace that was given to me from this place, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than you ought to think, but to think with sober judgment. So Paul knows exactly who he is. Paul knows that he's a son of God. He knows that he's saved by grace. Paul knows that he's an apostle. He knows that he's gifted. And it's from this place of knowing who he is that he now is beginning to function, this, that he's actually speaking from. And then he doesn't stop there. And I'm grateful. He doesn't just stop there by being that example, but he calls us into living this way as well. He says that we ought not think more highly than we are, that we ought to think of ourselves in sober judgment. We too need to know exactly the way that we've been created, and when we know how we've been created, then we live from that place. We need to know the grace of God on our lives, the gifts that God has placed in us and created us with, so that we can function to the fullness of the way that God has created us, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. So in addition to the grace that God has given us, in addition to the gifts that God has given us, we each have a level of faith that we function in those gifts by. For as in one body, we have many members, and the members do not have the same function. So we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. I love that Paul just uses an illustration that we don't have to like hold out in our hand, that we have to go find an illustration and be like, all right, this is what Paul's talking about. Right? We don't have to hold it in our hand because it is our hand. Right? We all have this body built in. It's like the best illustration you can ever find. It's right here. We've got a body. We've got different members of it. We've got different functions. My hand doesn't do the same as my foot. My tongue doesn't do the same as my foot. Which would be weird if my foot was tasting in the shoe. Yeah, all right. Just chew on that for a minute, or not. Ba-dum-tsh. Having gifts according to the grace given to us, let us use them. There it is again. According to the grace that God has given to each of us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. If service, in our serving. The one who teaches, in his teaching. The one who exhorts, in his exhortation. The one who contributes, in generosity. Another version says, he who gives, with liberality. The one who leads, with zeal. And the one who does acts of mercy, with cheerfulness. As we read through this couple weeks back in our last message, we also highlighted the principles for motivation for these motivational gifts. Number one, that everyone has a primary motivation gift. I believe that we can all have a number of these different motivation gifts, maybe two or three, but one generally rises to the top. As we're talking about them, you may resonate with a couple of them and be like, all right, yeah, I could possibly see that. But there's one that generally rises to the top. You're like, that is for sure me. Okay? Everyone has a primary motivation gift. Everyone has a different measure of faith, right? This is where we see the differentiation between the different types or the different way these gifts actually are utilized. The example I've used is the way that I can prophesy. And as I would prophesy at this level, I'm prophesying to the amount of faith that God has given me. But when Ben Dixon comes in here, he prophesies with greater clarity and just boom, 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 like reading your mail. I'm like, oh! But he's prophesying to the level of faith that he has. So there's different levels in there. And everyone must discover and exercise these motivational gifts. So let's continue just walking through these together and learning what these gifts are. We talked about prophecy in our last message, how the person with the motivation gift of prophecy is always thinking about what's God saying. What's God saying through this teaching? What's God saying through this conversation? Oh, the squirrel crossed the road here. I wonder if God's saying something about that. Right? It sounds funny to some of us who don't function that way, but the people with this gift of prophecy, they're always thinking this way. As they're yielded to the Holy Spirit, it's constant. What is God saying about this? Were there any of you in this room that felt like this was your primary gift? Okay. Well, if it's one of your secondary giftings, we still need you. And I know there are some here that actually do have this gift. The other one we talked about was service. And the person who has the gift of service, they are always thinking about, how can I meet someone's practical needs? They're hearing people's stories. They're seeing people all over. They're saying, how can I serve them? How can I serve them? How can I serve them? Anybody resonate with that one as we talked about it? There are a few of you. We need you. We need you guys. Keep doing what you're doing. Keep yielding to the Holy Spirit and see how you can continue in that. The third one I want to get to this morning, as we'll spend a little bit more time on these latter, five of them, is teaching. It's the next one that Paul talks about. Teaching, the gift of teaching, is the ability to provide practical instruction for kingdom living through biblical truth. And the person who has this gift of teaching is always thinking about, how can I help people understand? People just need to understand. This is my primary gifting. I think that I can solve every world problem by simply teaching the Scripture. I do. You talk about social justice, I'm like, oh, we just read the Scripture. We talk about racial reconciliation, Scripture. Homelessness, Scripture. Like, we just got to get people understanding this. And if you're anything like me, one of my favorite Scriptures is 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is breathed out by God. It's profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent and equipped for every good work. That seems to cover it all, right? So that's my reasoning. I'm like, yeah, of course. Everything can be solved by people simply knowing this Word of God. It's the blueprints for living.
That's right.
Anybody with me? I get a little excited with that. My Lord. Yes, sir.
Give me some of that.
Keep them coming. Keep them coming. So good. So good. Y'all are working with me this morning. All right. Anybody else feel like this may be a part of who you are, a teacher? You just want to get information. We've got a couple of them back there, and a couple over there. If this is you, here are the functions of teaching. Teaching helps us differentiate right from wrong. In the Old Testament, one of the primary roles of the priest was to remind people of God's Word, to remind people of the law. It sets up kind of a boundary, right? Here's one boundary, and here's another one, and simply stay down the middle. Don't hit those boundaries, right? In Ezekiel 22, God is speaking through him, and he's saying to the priests, you guys haven't done your role. You have not reminded people of the law. You have not reminded people of my word, of what I said. And because of that, people are going astray. Right? It just illustrates the need for people who have this gifting. We need to rise up and we need to stay up.
Amen.
Oh, that's like a t-shirt. Rise up. Someone write that down. Rise up and stay up. I like that. Someone said this morning that I would say stuff that would amaze me. And that just, mind blown. Good stuff. So teachers help us differentiate right from wrong. Teachers instruct the body into obedient action as well. They teach us where we need to obey and where we need to follow. It's the parameters for spiritual life. So teachers, we need you. We need you to rise up and stay up. The next one is exhortation. How often do we use the word exhortation today? Yeah, once. Did someone say once? Yes. But the actual word usage of exhortation is quite minimal today. And so when we break this word down in the Greek, it means to comfort, console, entreat, implore, or counsel. And so the best way to kind of wrap these words into one is encouragement. The person with the gift of exhortation is an encourager. You encourage people. What you're always thinking about is, how can I lift someone's head up? How can I help them continue to grow? The word picture that I kind of had in my mind was, you walk into a room and you see people gathered, and you're looking across and you see a bunch of heads held high, shoulders up, walking in confidence, right? And you zero in on that one who has a little bit of the slouched shoulders, the head down a little bit. And you're going to come up, you're going to lift that head up. You have a discernment in you to recognize, oh, what is this person going through? How can I help encourage them? How can I help fuel them on towards growth? I've got a couple people on my leadership team who I think have this gift as a primary. It's so nice to have encouragers around you. Have you guys ever benefited from encouragement?
Yeah, of course.
Oh yeah. One of the great encouragers in the Bible was a man named Barnabas. I mean, it's in his very name. Son of encouragement is what it actually means, right? There it is. There's your card. There's your sign. And he was very primary in the role of Paul. You know, he started out as Saul, and he's persecuting Christians. He's breaking down doors and shackling Christians, and he has this encounter with Jesus where he's completely transformed, and now he's proclaiming the gospel of Jesus, and his name is now turned to Paul as he takes on the Roman saying of his name. He's Paul now, and he is going from place to place sharing the gospel of Jesus, makes his way to Jerusalem where all the disciples are, and the disciples say what? You were persecuting Christians. No way. And Barnabas, the son of encouragement, comes and says, no, this is a man of God. This man is doing mighty things for the kingdom of God. And so he vouches for him. Right? And sometimes we need that person who's going to vouch for us and encourage us. If you are a person of encouragement, exhortation, one of the things that you often do, well, you'll go find the new person. You'll come up next to them and say, hey, my name is Ben. Your name is Sam. Okay, awesome. That's great. I prophetically knew your name. And he tells you about yourself, and you kind of take that person around and say, introduce him. Like, hey, okay. Yeah, you're vouching for him. You are. What is that? FaceTime? Love it. No. I'm sorry. Sorry. Sometimes I just save these things and it just comes out. So my apologies. We can just edit that out. I did not mean to embarrass you. I'm sorry. Forgive me. I love you so much. Your functions, if this is you as an encourager, is to accept people. You accept people very quickly, and you'll find that you accept people more quickly than others. And you're just going up to new people. You're inviting to them. You're a discerner. You discern what's going on in people's lives, what they need to hear to get that oomph. That's what I feel like with encouragers. I sit down with an encourager, and it's like I'm a kite, and they just blew the wind up under me, and I'm floating high again, right? You are a developer. You bring wholeness and you bring restoration, and communication is key. So who are the encouragers in here again? Yes. We need you. We need you guys. We need you. Yeah, we need the big flashing arrow right here. Encourager. But it's important that we know who these people are and we stir them up. When we see them encouraging, let's do that that positive affirmation thing because it's helpful. Thank you. Thank you, my Lord. The next one he talks about is giving. And this is the ability to receive and release spiritual and financial resources in order to help people and extend the kingdom of God. If you have this gift, you're always thinking about, how can I give something to someone else? You're the person who's dangerous if you have cash on you, because you know you're just going to give it away. Right? Is that you? There's a few. I know that I've heard some stories that of people up in here too. You're always just you're driving down the street and you're like, oh man, that guy looks like he could use some cash. And I'm always thinking, I wish I was that guy. You know, just playing. Yeah, don't love money. Paul says that those who have this gift should exercise it with liberality. Essentially, what that means is, you just give all of your time. You give all of your money. You give all of your food. You give all of your knowledge and all of your skills. Not literally everything you have, but that's what you feel like. You're like, I just want to give it all. Here, take everything that I'm wearing. You know, this is what you are feeling. I want to give this away. And the Bible encourages us towards these things. In Ephesians 4, Paul says, we work so that we can have something to share with others. That's quite a different perspective than we often have in this world, right? We work so that we can have everything that we want. Right? We work so that we can have the American dream, the white picket fence, the house, the boat. Having things aren't bad. Being financially stable is not bad. Don't hear me wrong. But this is a whole different perspective. If I'm working so that I can give to others. So those of you who are givers, this just becomes easy for you. Also, encouragement found in Luke 6 is give and it will be given to you, and the same measure with the same measure that you use. Right? So in your generosity, just know that God is giving back to you in your generosity as well. It's also important to know that it doesn't mean that you're super, super rich financially to be this. This is often confused. But you're someone who has this vision for forgiving, for your own life, for other people's lives. Maybe with your friends, when they say, "Oh, I got this bonus," you're already thinking how they should spend that bonus, right? "I've got a great cause for you. This is going to be incredible," right? You're already thinking about that stuff. So you, part of your function is to cast vision. And I invite that here at the church as well. I've seen it happen where people with this gift they'll come up and say, "Hey, Ben, I want people to be more generous," right? That's naturally who they are. "I want people to be more like this, so I want to help the church to do this. So I want to do a giving challenge. So if people give $20 to someone they're investing with, I'll give them $20 so they can give $40. I've seen this happen. And super beneficial. They casted the vision. They figured out where the funds were at. They were a bridge for those funds and made it happen. Right? So any givers in here? Anyone feel like, "I need to be friends with you guys"? Just playing. We need you though. We need you though. You're also a releaser. You release as you see the needs of people. What you guys do is you say, "Okay, where can these needs be found?" And you're going to connect people like that. You're also a faith builder, because as you have this vision for how we could be giving, oftentimes it takes a lot of faith. It takes a lot of faith to be able to believe that, "Oh my goodness, this is such a huge vision for giving. I believe God's going to do it." Right? You have to have that faith. And as you do, other people are going to see that and be like, "Yeah, give me some of that, my Lord." Yes. So we need you guys as you are givers. This next one that Paul references is leadership. This is the ability to gather, to guide, to govern people and projects in order to build up the body of Christ and extend God's kingdom. Anyone in here right off the bat who feels like they may have a leadership gift? Yeah, I see. I'm thinking maybe that one back there too. As you are a leader, as you have the gift of leadership, you're always thinking, "How can I gather people in order to make this happen? How can I?" You're always thinking, "Man, this would be so much easier if we just got this group of people and this group of people, and we came together and we worked together. It would just be so much easier, right?" Right, you're constantly thinking, "How do we gather people?" Paul told those who have this gift to lead with diligence, or with zeal, with haste, and with passion. So jump in. If you feel like you may have this leadership gift, we need leaders. Right? Amen. We need leadership. These leadership gifts to be on display. In Exodus, we see Moses appoints a number of different leaders over groups of different amounts of people. So you can be a leader of a small group with like two or three people. Moses has them divided up into leaders of tens and fifties and hundreds and thousands. So we see these gifts on different levels. Anybody feeling a little bit more like that may be them? Okay. If this is you, I would encourage you, study the life of Nehemiah. He's a great leader. A great leader in the Bible. Look at what he does, how he does it, how he makes decisions. It'll be greatly beneficial. Your functions as a leader is to motivate. You motivate people into working together. You identify a group of people, let's just say hand in hand. and you look at people from South Everett and you're like, I'm going to be that bridge between these two people. I'm going to connect these two people. And God's going to give you vision on how to actually make that happen. And you're going to be able to motivate these people to work together. You're also a good coordinator. That's where the bridge comes in handy. And again, communication is really important. So communicate well. Work on your communication. Not that you're lacking in any of it right now. The final gift, we're doing so good. The final gift is mercy. And this is the ability to feel sympathy and show compassion on those who are suffering physically, emotionally, and mentally. So if you are someone with this mercy gift, I know I can identify a few here at this church. If you have this mercy gift, you're always thinking, how can I heal the suffering? You're always sticking yourself into other people's problems, right? It's like you are the ones who zero in on the people who have issues, right? All the people with issues, you're like, that's my best friend for today. I'm gonna be right there. And I like to say that you just bleed the Father's heart. You just care so much. And as people are down and feeling it, you're the one who comes right next to him, puts your arm around him and says, oh man, yeah, I'm right there in your suffering. I'm crying with you, and you want to encourage them and somehow figure out a way how to bring them out of their suffering. You tap into the heart of God for them. Anybody feel like they have the gift of mercy? You just bleed the Father's heart. I know. Yeah. Awesome, Sean. Yeah. Your function as having the gift of mercy is healing. My encouragement with you is pray all the time. I believe that the more we pray for the sick, the more we pray for the hurting, the more we pray for the suffering, that the suffering is going to be less, that the pain is going to be less, that the sick is going to be less, because God's going to be healing. So my encouragement is have eyes. Have eyes for those who are hurting. And whether you actually stop and pray for them, which is important, or if you're just driving by and you see someone suffering, pray. Make a commitment. Even write it on like a sticker on the wall or something, that I will pray for every sick person I see. Make that your goal. That's how I would stir you up this morning as you have the gift of mercy. You're also a refresher. Because here's the deal. You are not the one who has the healing power. It's important to remember that as you would have this gift, because sometimes what happens is you take this on, and when you pray for healing and the people don't get healed, you take that hardly because you don't want them to be in their suffering, which is good heart, but just always recognize that God is the healer, right? He will have His healing time, whether it's now, tomorrow, or later on. Your job is to pray for the sick. And so in that time, even if you pray and you don't see healing at that time, you're also a refresher. You get to come on and next to these people and kind of, again, be that wind under their wings, that encouragement, that refreshing. When you leave time with people, they should be like, okay, I can do this. That's you. You're also a strengthener. You strengthen people. So those are the gifts that Paul lists as these resident motivation gifts. Again, resident motivation meaning that they just kind of, they pour out of us. As we're yielded to the Holy Spirit, these are what most naturally comes about. And I want us just to think about these for a minute. And it's important to me that we don't just move on from this message and talking about these resident motivation gifts without us truly considering if this is how God has called us to live and called us to minister. So is it prophecy? Is it acts of service? Is it teaching? Is it encouragement? Is it giving? Is it leadership? Is it mercy? Who has God made you to be? Which one of these comes out most naturally? I just want to allow a moment for the Holy Spirit to kind of solidify this in us. And as I pray this, would you just acknowledge it as well and say it in your heart. But Father, would you make it clear to each of us the way that you created us, these resident motivation gifts, these gifts which are resident within us, that flow from us. I just pray right now, help us to see. Help us to learn how to function in these gifts. That we would be a church who live by the power of God, because we recognize how you've created us, and we're just simply walking out what you're already speaking forth. Let's just wait a moment. Let him work in our heart. Because we want space for you in our life. Here's my challenge this week. My challenge would be, at least twice this week, acknowledge those gifts that God has placed in you. At least twice this week, acknowledge and maybe write down in your journal, this is how God has empowered me. Write out your identity so that you can see it. Speak it over yourself. That's challenge number one. Challenge number two, tell someone else the gift that you believe that you have, because that makes us a little bit more accountable to actually walking those gifts out. And number three, challenge would be to look at someone else in this room and pray with them, get into their life to the point where you would be able to identify, I believe you've got one of these gifts. I believe this is who you are. And pray with them. So Father, I just pray, release these gifts. As we came this morning with expectation that you would be highlighting gifts, that you would be causing us to come aware of these gifts, that you would be speaking to those gifts that have laid dormant maybe for a number of years that we once knew we had, and now we're being reminded of them. God, I pray, just the picture I'm having in my mind is a plant shooting forth, brilliantly blossoming. I just speak that and I declare that over our church, that we would be a church that is blossoming in spiritual gifts because we have eagerly sought them. And we know that eagerly seeking them doesn't just stop here. So Lord, would you just put it in our hearts, stir up a passion in each of us to continue identifying those gifts. And everyone who walks through these doors, would this remain not just for this week or month or year, but for generations to come, that we would be marked by people who are identifying those gifts in other people, calling out the gold in people, empowering them and releasing them into the fullness that you have for them. Let us be that people. Let us be that church. Let us be those children who would be an encouragement to each other and continue to build each other up. I'm expecting these things, Lord. Grateful that you allow us to expect. Grateful for your work in our lives. I pray for a fresh filling of your Holy Spirit in each of us. Refresh us. Send us forward this week as we would be ministers to the people around us. As I say every day, God, I yield myself to you. Would you have every part of my life? And I pray that same prayer over everyone here in our church, that we would be fully and completely yielded to you, used by you as instruments of righteousness, empowered by your Holy Spirit. Jesus, be the center. Would you be glorified in all that we do? And if you agree with that this morning, would you say amen? Amen. Amen. Love you guys. Excited to continue talking about spiritual gifts in the weeks to come. We'll see you.
You've been listening to a podcast from South Everett Foursquare Church. For more information about us, please visit us online at www.southeverett.org.